Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I sometimes get into trouble with my sermons, but I think to myself, well, after all those years of preaching in so many words, who wouldn't? It's not the same as with young, newly ordained priests or deacons, sometimes at the seminary. Bishop Sambor will make a point to listen to one of their first sermons and then kindly inform them afterwards how many heresies they had in their sermon. I hope that's not the case for me. But inadvertently, people are offended at times. You know that for some, what they call politics, current events, are very strict no-fly zones. And when it comes to laying down the law or dealing with some pet flaw, that's always dicey here in the Wild West because everybody comes to church armed. Or perhaps dealing with a crisis, because when one is in the midst of a crisis, it's hard to think clearly. But last Sunday, you had the meekest and the mildest of our priests, who is also a very good preacher in his own right. But sure enough, by Monday, somebody had called and left a long message taking very strong exception to Father McGuire's description of a newborn child. He said, "He is precious in our sight, but in the eyes of heaven, this child is a horrible, terrible sight. He is blackened with original sin. His soul is an enemy of God. It is so filthy that heaven refuses to open its gates to him. No amount of cuteness can change this." Father was simply describing the reality of original sin, its mortal guilt and stain inherited from Adam, resulting in the deforming of the soul. Ah, parents, never delay baptizing your children. For centuries it was the custom to baptize children on the day of their birth or within a few days thereafter. And you know, this is how godparents originated. That is to say, the mother may have been too weak to carry her baby to the font to be baptized. And so another woman, a godmother, was deputed in her place to stand for the child, to speak for the infant. "I will be baptized, and yes, I do believe." Now, the most beautiful baby in the world, and remarkable, most of you have produced some very beautiful babies, but you know, they're not all beautiful. In my theory, it takes a while sometimes for the baby to reach his stride in the beauty department. But the most beautiful baby in the world is still ugly with the stain of sin until washed in the waters of the precious blood at baptism. Father's lone critic last Sunday, perhaps, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to speak with him, but perhaps he is awash himself in the modern world of naturalism. Or perhaps he never really learned his catechism. You know, question, what is original sin? Answer, the guilt, the stain inherited from our first parents and washed away by baptism. A whole generation of Catholics, ever since the changes in the 1960s, we're talking 50 years, have the name of Catholic, but have never learned the Catholic faith. But those in the Novus Ordo are never stopped by that little fact from weighing in on religious discussions about the Church or her teaching. St. Augustine, in today's Matins, in his sermon, compares these types to lepers. Maybe I'll get a call this week myself. But those who are baptized, St. Augustine says, and have some vague idea of the faith, but one which is full of holes and errors, with their religious knowledge. They're lepers. Their ideas about God, their ideas about sin, heaven and hell, about the Mass, the Ten Commandments, sin, confession, marriage, its permanency, its purpose, and sins against marriage. And the standard philosophical questions, are all religions equally good? Can I save my soul outside the church? Does it really matter what I believe as long as I'm a good person? St. Augustine says, they don't hide their ignorance as though it were the most profound wisdom. They bring it forth to the light and proclaim it in high-sounding phrases. Does that sound familiar to you from your last religious discussion? Leprosy, he calls it. Today's 10 lepers, this is the idea, see our Lord coming from afar, and they cry out to him, not Jesus, Messiah, or Son of David, but they cry out, Jesus, teacher, have mercy on us. The old English of the gospel, teacher is master, but it's very clear in the Latin of the Mass, Jesu preceptor. And St. Augustine says this is the only example he knows of, and that this must be so because leprosy stands for those who lack the true faith. And thus they profess various false doctrines. Now, by the nature of religious truths, they do get something right, but it's all mixed up with mistakes. The two together, like skin blotches on the body of a leper, leading, if not treated, well, first of all, you lose the sensation in your fingers, and then the limbs start to rot, and there's an awful stench. And finally, fingers and toes fall off. False doctrine. Remember this about today's gospel is symbolized by the leprosy from which the good master, the teacher, made them clean. Parents, what are you doing with these beautiful babies of ours after baptism? Are you raising them clean? Well, I have no doubt that you have them bathe regularly and wash their hands before meals and change their clothing, but are these beautiful, beautiful children well on their way to becoming lepers, truth and falsehood already all jumbled up in their little minds, prayers and the commandments and the catechism half forgotten, and sins thus never acknowledged or confessed, staining their souls? How does this happen? Ignorance leads to error. If your children made their first communion, and if that was also for them their last catechism, or if maybe there was some effort to attend the classes for the first few years, spotty attendance, and of course it's understood for Sunday observance, as long as there's no sporting event or school activity or performance of some sort, anything really that might get in the way, that always goes first, and God quietly takes the last place. And this, all of this, think of it, is in the context of an intensely secular, liberal, and anti-religious environment in society, in public schools, in daily life. And even if at home it is the same, if they never get catechism or prayers or the rosary, what's going to happen to those beautiful children? They will come down with leprosy. Just as surely as those poor little African children in Liberia or in Libya. Did you see that heart-rending picture? It was in the paper the other day. A little boy, he couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. He'd been diagnosed with Ebola. And he was carried by two big burly figures, all done up in their hazmat uniform. But despite the hazmat, they held the little boy at as much of a distance as possible, as though the germs could somehow get through all of their protective covering. What a pitiful and a sad picture. Like the latest plague they're worried about now, this leprosy I'm talking about is catchy. It spreads in conversations, at games, at sporting events, at play, in class, with cousins, with neighbors, adult to child, and children among themselves. And if there's no medicine, if there's no sound, solid, steady study of our faith, why, anyone could succumb to the influence. St. Pius X, we have him next to the pulpit now, I think that's a good idea. St. Pius X, who died 100 years ago last month, he it is who restored first Holy Communion to the little innocent ones. As long, he said, as they have the use of reason, which is usually, you know, between 6 or 7 and then 8, sometimes as early as 5 years, however, and then they have to be able with reason to distinguish right from wrong, and they can distinguish the Blessed Sacrament from ordinary bread. Oh, they also have to be able to behave reverently at church, at Mass. And for the faith, they just have to know the basics of the faith. Sometimes the whole catechism is insisted upon because of experience, and because in some families that will be the only catechism these children ever receive. But this great Pope, when he issued this decree 100 years ago, said this too: after First Holy Communion, the children are to attend catechism classes. This is considered a grave matter. In other words, it is a mortal sin for parents to neglect the ongoing Catholic education of their progeny. For this reason, we have St. Gertrude the Great School. For this reason, we have a Sunday school as well, to do everything we can to help the parents, for they are the primary educators of their children, that each child should receive at least the bare minimum necessary to save his soul, and lest parents should commit a mortal sin. And our children end up growing up as lepers. Your children belong in class. They belong in Mass. Some children don't even get that, but they belong in class and in Mass every Sunday. Not for a year or two, and not from time to time if there's nothing else on the social calendar, but year after year, just like schooling. For at school, one is meant to be prepared for life. And in religion classes, the children are prepared not only for this life, but for the next. To attend the class, to learn, to understand, to retain the catechism, that is to say, the essentials of the Catholic faith. This means the usual means that are used at school. Not just a story or a little activity, a project, and not just a lecture either from a teacher, but study and tests and reviews and questions and homework. This study should be serious stuff. And this is why each year I ask all of our good teachers, please, to assign homework, to send something home with the children, and for parents to work with their children during the week. This is the most important work any of us will ever have to do. It is a work which never ends. Thus, there's a sermon preached on Sunday, and there's the little catechism corner in the bulletin frequently and every Sunday in your musical leaflet. Do you read that over? The explanation of the Mass, today's epistle is rather obscure. You should read that over. And then the little catechism corner, too, after Mass before you go, and take it home. Why not? It's your leaflet. And even cut it out, something that strikes you or may be useful, and save it. It is for you, just like religion, revelation, our Catholic faith, for you and for your children. Baptism makes these children beautiful. Confession, confirmation, and Holy Communion makes these children to be complete with that work. The work is complete, but the labor is not over. And if you don't work on it with your children, for yourselves, the labor will be lost. Leprosy sets in. And how hard it is to cleanse the soul of sin. Clinics are few. Doctors are rare. Medicines are expensive. What a beautiful baby, we always say. Let us mean it and give this child the means to grow up whole and healthy. Jesus, the teacher, does have mercy on us. Parents, I beg you, have mercy on your children. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.